So the one thing I want to correct or make sure is, I'm not sure, I might have said that Jesus dwelt in a body of flesh. That's not the way the Bible says it. It says in John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten Son of God. So full of grace and truth. So I want to remember that and think about that as we talk about that today. So understanding God. In Psalm 14, 1 through 3, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable things. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They've all turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. So there's a problem with humankind. Even though God did the creating, we find that they didn't accept that. They didn't understand that, and they didn't want to have anything to do with that. They just didn't want to believe in the God of heaven. They chose instead to either serve themselves and their own lusts and pleasures, or to serve idols. And so they did not want to follow God for the most part. We find even at one point only 8 righteous souls are saved. So we have a problem, it seems, with humankind. They just don't want to accept this fact because it is difficult. And I made an argument earlier, it's just hard for us to understand this about how great God is. As we have so many times discussed, it is just impossible to understand Him completely. But we need to try. We talked about trying to understand. If we wanted to understand someone, it meant we needed to spend time with them, make an effort to learn about them, and sincerely care for them instead of this. We then make an application to our need to, with our limited ability to understand God. Well, what are some things we need to understand about God that would benefit us greatly? Well, we could make a long list. And we could keep making that list, and we could have several lessons about it, but I only want to talk about 3 things about God this morning that we truly need to try to understand. The first one is we need to understand His knowledge and wisdom, that there is nothing lacking in that, as Brad said in his prayer. Well, see, that's not possible for us to understand. He's omniscient. We don't understand that fact. We cannot figure out how someone could know everything about everything that there is to know. It's just not possible. We just cannot come to that understanding. We do, though, on the other hand, have some problems and situations in our life where we need help. And who do we seek out? Well, if I need physical help, I don't go to my mechanic and say, listen, my body's in bad shape. Can you fix it? He's going to look at me like, are you crazy? I have no idea what you're talking about when I try to describe a physical ailment I have. And I see some smiles on your faces, but we know that. We don't seek out bad advice if we can help it. We are smart enough to know that we need someone that is wise enough to know how to deal with that situation, don't we? Now, we may make a mistake. We may think someone is wise and we may seek them out and they really don't know and they have to tell us, I don't know. I have no idea how to do that. But we do want that kind of advice in our life, and we seek out someone. Well, that's interesting. So that if we really want to know, who do we really seek out to get the one who can solve all of our problems? Why is it we always look to someone else again? We should seek Him out first. We should give Him the glory and the credit. For anything that happens in our life, He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts, He says. In James 1. He is. There is no perfect gift that's been given in this life that didn't come from God. God is the provider. Well, no. Someone else did. No. God created that person, created them with wisdom and understanding and knowledge, gave them the ability to learn, and as a result, they were able to do that. But is it truly possible to understand how great His wisdom and knowledge is? Well, of course not. In Romans 11, it exceeds anything that we know. It's just not possible. But think about this for a moment. Why wouldn't we believe in a Creator? And why wouldn't we believe in someone greater than us? And why wouldn't we believe in this One who put everything together? If we look around, we combine all of us and the abilities that we have, wouldn't we know that somebody, some being, did this? Some being made this all possible. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, in Romans 11, starting with verse 33. How deep is it? How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. We know from Isaiah 55, His ways are way beyond our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. It is so much greater than us that We can't even come close to thinking on those terms. But we know that He's that way. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Who? Who? No one. No one. All of us combined haven't. Or who has first given to Him, and it should be repaid to Him. See, we always equate things in life. So-and-so owes me because I did something. That's a human thing. Okay, so what did I do for God before He did for me? Actually, what have I ever done for God? God doesn't need anything from me. He's trying to let us know that when it comes to His wisdom and knowledge, how could I counsel Him? How could I go to God and say, wait just a second, I've got this one, I'm smarter than you, it's not going to happen. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever, so be it. That's the way it is. Amen. That's the way it is. But we do have the mind of Christ. This is the beauty of this, as we talked about, how do we know God? Well, one of the ways is through His Son. We can know the Godhood or Godhead because He was the Word that dwelt in flesh. So, thus we know about God. When we look at this in 1 Corinthians 2, 5 through 16, let me start at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor are the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We're not talking about physical things, he said. We're not talking about things you can find out from another human being that God gave that human being the ability to understand and know. We're not talking about those things. We're not talking about the philosophies of men. We're not talking about this great wisdom that men think that they have. Well, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in a revealing. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, as was pointed out in the prayer. And as we know, all of these things started long before humans ever existed, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If you just had a little bit of understanding, they wouldn't have done that. Just a little bit of wisdom of God, they wouldn't have done that. If they had read the Old Testament and understood it, they wouldn't have done that. But it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So another part of the Godhood of Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? There are some things that only I and God know about me. That's what he's saying. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. It's not the philosophies of men. Men have all these wonderful thoughts and ideas about things, and they just put it down on paper, and it people just worship at their feet. Oh, that is so wise. No. This is true wisdom, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. If you don't truly understand, seek to understand God, you will not understand this. What did Jesus tell them? These things have been hidden from people. Hidden? You mean God didn't want some people to know? No. He said it's because they have shut up their hearts and their ears. They don't want to know. They don't want to see. They don't want to understand. You have to search it out. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. Christ delivered this word. The Holy Spirit will then bring it back to their remembrance. We have it. We have the mind of God. We have it written down. We can know it. And it, one of the ways that we can understand and know this is through the creation of the church. The great wisdom in this, in putting together the church of our Lord. If you look at it in Ephesians 3, he talks about they hadn't known this in times past. They hadn't figured this out. They didn't know that all were going to be brought together in this one body, as he would talk about in Ephesians 2. As Roger Sr. said in his prayer, that once the Gentiles did not have a written law. They were without God in that sense in the world. Think about this. He brought all of this together, and as he talks about that, that's that mystery now that has been explained. And now he talks about the Gentiles receiving this. And he goes on to say, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. He said, they didn't understand. People didn't understand all of this plan. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. When you see this formation of the Lord's church, not only are they to present it to other people, but just the fact it exists shows the wisdom of God. What God put together, how that Jesus said, I will build my church. That's what it was all about, bringing all these saved together in one body, both alive and dead. This was the mystery they didn't understand. The Jews thought they were the only ones. That's not true. All the saved of all ages were brought together in one, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. This wisdom is given to people who want to know. You remember a man back in the Old Testament? He really wanted wisdom from God. Now, the kind of wisdom he wanted, I grant you, was a lot to do with the things of this life. But that still is wisdom from God. He knew how to explain things that probably scientists today can't come close to explaining. He understood the mysteries of a lot of the physical things on this earth. He also understood hidden mysteries of spiritual things as well. God gave him tremendous wisdom. And so he had this, and people sought it out from him. And in 1 Kings 4:29, they went to Solomon, and they wanted to know things. And he gave him exceedingly, in verse 29, great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus, Solomon's wisdom excelled in wisdom to all the men of the east and the wisdom of Egypt. And it goes on to talk about how wise he was. And finally, in verse 34, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Tremendously wise man. I want you to take something into account here. As great as his wisdom was, it's a drop in the bucket. God was just telling him about what he had already done. God was just explaining to him and letting him explain to others about how all this worked. God gave him great wisdom about life under the sun that we've read about from the book of Ecclesiastes. And in 10:24, they sought out this great wisdom. But we need to understand his power. That it's not limited. Not limited. He's omnipotent. He has all power. And we find then that that power only comes from Him. Any power He gives out. Any power that's had on this earth was given by God. No man has power in and of himself. He can remove that power at any time. He lifts up nations and He tears them down. They are indeed nothing to Him, like a drop in a bucket. He chooses which nations will make it and which ones don't. He chooses when they rise and when they fall. He makes all of those choices. He has the power to do it. And amazingly, it's not. He doesn't use it like that. He uses it with His great wisdom in knowing when to make all this happen, when not to make it happen. If we were in trouble, or we needed some help, if we knew someone who had the power to move mountains, wouldn't we seek them out? Like we're going to have to go to jail, but we know someone with power. We know someone that has the power to prevent that from happening. Would we go? If we owed a lot of money and we knew someone would be more than willing to pay it off, just give us the money to pay this great debt that we owed, would we not go to them if they had the power to do that? We do, don't we? Well, we have one. The power belongs to the Lord. In Psalm 62, there is no greater power. He is the power. In Psalm 62, starting with verse 8, Trust in Him at all time, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. Oh, let's compare this for just a moment. You got the ones who have no power, and you got the ones who do. And he says neither one of them amount to anything. If they're weighed in the balances, they're altogether lighter than vapor. They just, it's gone. Little heat, they're gone. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. It's not for man to take. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you rendered each one according to his work. Be grateful for that last, because an all-powerful being does not have to show mercy. But God is merciful. How much is His power limited? And people always have these stupid things they say. They think they're so smart. Could God create something He couldn't lift? And all the stupidity of that. And what they forgot was the first thing we studied, which was His wisdom and knowledge. That's just not even close to being anything. Anyone with wisdom and knowledge, you don't even consider that. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, how great is it? Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult, too hard for you. Nothing. There's things way too difficult for me, too hard. I can't do them. It's not possible. I don't have the power. One of the things that He has the power to do is avenge us. We were talking on Wednesday night about how Nehemiah prayed that God would avenge them for the way they had been treated. Nehemiah left that vengeance in God's hand just like we should do. And He is the one who will avenge us. And of course, we find in Revelation 6, those under the altar said, when will you avenge us? Of course, we leave it in Him, His hands. He will avenge. And there's a time for vengeance. For those unrepentant people, there's a time for vengeance. So Christ gives this parable of this woman. Who has a need? She goes to a judge and she says, will you take care of this? Will you avenge my adversary for me? She doesn't have the power to do it. The judge has the power. He can avenge. He can go and get that man, whatever the possibilities are here, or whatever is going on here, don't know. But he can go get that man. He can put him in jail. He can take care of this for her. He can help that widow out. It's not a problem for him at all. Well, he doesn't do it. He says, I don't think so. Now, of course, this is about prayer, but just take this. He says, no, I don't. He didn't regard man or he didn't fear man or regard God. He didn't really care in his judgments. He just did what he wanted to do. Well, she doesn't give up. She just keeps coming. And finally, he says, well, I'll tell you what, I just give up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of this for this widow. And he talks about us. If we truly have a need and we want that type of, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to say this, vengeance taken out because a person won't repent. We want God to take care of a situation for us where people are doing some horrifying things. And we ask God to take care of that. We ask Him and we keep asking Him. That's one of our problems. We're dependent on our government and everything else to do this. We need to pray to God for these situations in life. Instead of looking at them like, oh no, we need to go, God can take care of that. And God will take care of it. Is there not a time in history that He's not taking care of it? Sure. People die. That's a fact. Because of human beings who are very evil. But God will take care of it. But why? Because we will continually go to Him. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them sometime. Speedily. Lend them out the words for me. Speedily. How quick? Speedily. Why? Because we keep asking. But the greatest power of all. That's a great power we just talked about. But there's one greater than that. That's the salvation of my soul. The gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Have you ever picked up any written book that will do what this book will do, if you'll obey it? You haven't. The good news is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now, what about those people that believe? Should we concern ourselves? Can I hang on? Will it be possible for me to make it through this? I mean, what's going to happen? What if? What if? What if? Keep your faith in Him. In 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according, you remember the one with power? To His abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do we know He can take care of us? How do we know? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is absolute power when you can bring the dead back to die no more. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, how? Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I'm confident in me. Again, I make a point. No, never have I had confidence in me. I'm a sinner, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I struggle in this life. I don't always do what God wants me to do. Do you? No. So, where's my confidence? Where's my faith? It's in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, knowing that I also have that hope of eternal life been reserved in heaven for me, regardless of what happens in this life. What if I'm persecuted to death? It's still reserved for me in heaven. What keeps it there? My faith and my salvation. How would I have such great faith? Because God has all power. It's not a problem with Him. And then, He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. If we needed someone to be our eyes or our ears somewhere, we've got these drones running around all over the place that are eyes and ears for all kinds of things anymore. They're limited. They're limited. We find that we've got this great network of spies throughout, and we can see all, and we're limited. Things still happen in this life that people go, didn't know that was going to happen. We had no idea. You know who didn't know? God. God knew. God knew what was going to happen in Paris Friday night. God knew. God knows everything. People go, well, if He knows it, why doesn't He stop things? Because He put man on this earth to make his own decisions and live his own life. That's what it's all about. If He didn't, we'd all be just little robots wandering around doing exactly everything perfect, which is we don't. But we know someone like that. We know someone who can be everywhere so that if I need... Tom and Alicia brought their grandchildren. If they need someone to watch out for them when they're not around, who do they turn to? God. If I need someone to watch out for someone when they're not around, who do I turn to? God. There's three young ladies in the back, and then Linda, Vivian, one of the ones that went with them on last week to go to that in Cincinnati. Now, wouldn't you be a little nervous as the husband of one of those four if you're thinking about those four ladies being out running around together? I'm saying this for humor's sake. Do you know who I turned to believe they would be safe? I prayed about their safety. I prayed that they would be kept safe. Four women out together in Cincinnati. And one of them I know has no GPS. She has a GPS like this, but she has no GPS. When you think about this, and I won't mention which one, it might be all four of them, I don't know. But you think about this for a moment, that's what we depend on. He's everywhere. We have someone that is everywhere. He understands our thoughts. He knows our sitting down and our rising up. The psalmist says, you comprehend, in verse 3, my path and my lying down and acquainted with all my ways. So there's not a word on my tongue, but, oh Lord, you know it all together. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. I mean, He has all these great abilities. But what about Him? Where can I go from your Spirit? Verse 7, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. And He's not talking about, I don't think, the heaven of heavens. He's talking about into the sky above us. If I make my head in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the light shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And He goes on to talk about His creative ability. But God even knew that in the womb. He knew all that there was to know about Him. We just can't hide from Him. It's just not possible to hide from Him. There is nothing that I can hide from God. That's a hard concept for us. I didn't see Him today, this morning when I got up, but He was there. I didn't see Him when I came into this building, but He was here. I didn't see Him at all yesterday, visually, but He was there. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? What? How could that possibly be? It's not like Him taking our sins and putting them from east to west. He is east and west. He is north and south. He's everywhere. You can't do it. Can anyone hide Himself in the secret places so that I shall not see Him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? He's the one that truly is the only one that knows about our good deeds. And when I say that, I want to make it perfectly clear, because He's the only one that knows what good deeds are. He's the one determining them. He knows when I do them or when I don't do them. He's the only one. It's not, no one else knows about those sorts of things. And that's what is made a point in Matthew 6 that Christ said, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. God knows everything that I do. He knows all the other part of it too. He knows not only the good that I do, but He knows the evil I do. Back in Jeremiah 16, is there something I could hide from God? Maybe there's a sin. Maybe He won't notice. Maybe He's not there. Or like Jonah, maybe I can flee from God. Not going to happen. Jeremiah 16, for my eyes are on their ways, verse 17. They're not hidden from my face, nor is there any iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land and they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable idols. Is that not the same God that we have today? Does He not know everything? Nothing is hidden from Him. In the New Testament, the Hebrew writer puts it another way. He talks about that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature, not even humans are what's being discussed here, but there's no creature hidden from His sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes with Him with whom we have to do. That is amazing. And it'll be brought up. In Ecclesiastes 14, verse 12, everything will be brought up in judgment. Everything. How about the things that Glendon doesn't know about me? Will those be brought up? Well, if I have not, and they're sinful, and I have not, it should be 12, by the way, 12, 14, just the opposite of that. Everything that I do, God knows. And He'll bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Does that mean I'm going to stand there before God and He's going to give me this list? No, that's not what's being discussed here. What's being discussed here is He knows everything about my life. It is an open book to Him from the day I was born to the day I die. There's nothing hidden from Him. He's everywhere. He knows everything. So if we know we're going to be judged, wouldn't it be wise to know something about the judge? It might be that the judge is one of those people that maybe if I dressed up really well before him or her, and I went in and had my hair combed and everything, I would make a better impression. Maybe. Maybe I wouldn't look like the scum that I was when I was doing the evil deed that I did that brought me before this judge. Maybe I could clean myself up and maybe look a little better, and it might just influence them a little bit. Or maybe I know something about the judge, that the judge has a particular view of something, and maybe I could have my attorney bring that up in the trial. Maybe just influence him a little bit. Wouldn't you want to do that? So wouldn't it be good to know about this judge? Wouldn't it be good to know he's righteous, that he's not going to be swayed by unrighteousness at all? There's nothing I can tempt him with. I can't bribe him. Maybe I need to know that, and maybe who knowing the righteous judgment of God in Romans 1:32, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same but also prove those who practice them. Deserving of death. Maybe I need to fix it so I'm not deserving of death. Maybe I need to know this judge a little bit better and maybe clean myself up before approaching. Maybe if I find out he's just, I can approach him that way because I know that he will not treat me any different than he will someone else. He'll avenge when it's right. He'll do the replaying when it's right because the Lord will judge his people. Maybe I should understand the fact that he's to be feared. And this is a different kind of fear than we were talking about a couple weeks ago. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Maybe I better recognize that I don't want to approach him in a situation where he can condemn me to hell. So if we know that, why wouldn't we obey his every command? Why wouldn't we say, I want what he has to give? Why wouldn't we say, there's nothing I can hide from him? My life's an open book. So I'm going to approach this one with one thing and one thing only. Me. And I'm going to say to him, well, you know, I knew your son said, he that believeth is baptized should be saved, but I didn't want to do that. I just really didn't. I didn't think that's necessary. Will that work? Or maybe as a Christian, I say to him, well, I knew that I needed to quit doing something that I was doing was wrong, or I needed to do something that you wanted me to do, but I just thought, you know what? God's a forgiving God. Think it'll work? I think we better read His Word and understand Him a little bit better. If you have any needs, today think about God and think about your situation before Him, and certainly we'd be glad to assist you if we can. Would you please stand?